Good afternoon. It is March the 19th, 2019. That's 3/19/19 for you numerologists out there who practice the ancient art of numerology. Yep, March 19th, 2019. And you haven't heard from me in about a week, and the reason is really quite simple. I've been a bit burnt out. I guess you could say I've got a bit of the fatigue. Call it the fatigue of reality. I actually had some good news about a week ago, and it is good news. I'm going to be starting a job soon, and I kind of can see that maybe I'm not going to go down the toilet bowl quite yet. But the problem is when you circle the toilet bowl a few times, you kind of get a sense of the view. I don't know. I'm drinking coffee right now, so you know. Yeah, I'm drinking coffee, but yeah, I circled the toilet bowl a few times in the last few months, and I got really close to a pretty bad place. And it's hard to describe that place. It's really hard to describe it. I wish I had words for it. You could call it futility if you wanted to. Life felt futile. You could call it dark or dreary if you wanted to. It was definitely that. You could say hopeless or desperate. Those words would also apply. But the last few months I got to some pretty dark places. And so I got kind of burnt out, and the news was sort of terrible. The news is kind of terrible. I don't know if reality is as bad as the news describes it as, but there's no way for me to know. All the sources of information seem flawed to me at this point, and they all seem equally negative. It's not like there's a channel you'll switch to and it tells you everything is great, No such channel exists. Oh, and another mistake I made about a week ago. Well, not so much a mistake. One of my listeners was really generous and actually sent me a lot of money. And if you're out there listening, I really appreciate it. That was really helpful. It helped me pay the rent, not all of it, but a portion of it. But yeah, I've been in a weird place, and so for last week I've been kind of a hermit in my place, going out for this and that, but not much, and just hanging out here and listening to nonstop Dane Wigington podcasts. Now, if you don't know who Dane Wigington is, he has a website. I think it's geoengineering watch.com or .org. But if you look up Dane Wigington, and the last name is spelled Wig with an ING and a TON after that. But yeah, Dane Wigington, I've been listening to his podcasts, and he has hundreds of them. He has over 200, and I've listened to most of them, I think, at this point. And I'll go to sleep at night. I've been going to sleep at night listening to Dane Wigington podcasts. And you can only hear, chemical ice nucleation and omnicide. Omnicide. Talk about word of the century or the millennia. He loves using the word omnicide, omni, everything, side, right? Omnicide. As a way to describe the ultimate death of all life on Earth, if we do everything right. And here's the thing I have to say, I have to put this out there. He seems like a really honest person. Like, I'm not dissing the person. I'm not dissing him. He seems honest. He seems pretty intelligent. I have not checked all of his data, but it does seem like, anecdotally to myself, it seems like they've been messing with the weather. But beyond that, I can't really say with certainty if he's right, but he seems sincere. He seems to do his research, and he approaches it from a scientific perspective. So he's someone you want to listen to. Like, he's someone to take seriously. If you hear him talking, it's like, holy crap, this guy is serious. He's someone to be taken seriously, and he's basically saying that even if we all of a sudden, if all of us did the right thing tomorrow, which is unlikely, with major social change, if we all changed in a decade, that would be fast. But if we all suddenly changed tomorrow in America and we embraced a different strategy and we stopped all the geoengineering and all the solar radiation management and all the use of, electromagnetic energy to push the weather around because of all the nanoparticles of metals in the air column and in the clouds. If we all tomorrow did this, it sounds like, according to him, that we're pretty much doomed. Most of us are doomed. And the best we can hope for is for some small fragment, some enclave of the human race surrounded by some nuggets of nature to somehow survive the coming horrors. And the thing is, he's sincere. He is very sincere. I mean, sincerity is dangerous in a sense. Like, I'll say in my own defense, I may sound sincere, but I will tell you up front if I think I'm, knowledgeable of a subject. And if I'm not, and if it's just my opinion, you can kind of figure that out. But this guy's sincere. When he says omnicide, when he's talking about the death of all life on Earth, the murder of all life on Earth by human behavior, when he's basically making this argument, and a compelling one at that, for linking Alzheimer's and dementia to all of the metals that are being aerosolized and put into the air column. I mean, yeah, this guy is serious business. So yeah, but listening to his podcast nonstop, all the stories he there are no listen, if you're gonna listen to his weekly stories, they're not the happy stories. I'm not saying he's not lying. I think you could argue he's cherry-picking probably only the dark, horrible stories. On the other hand, that's part of his message. He's trying to wake people up. If he is right, if Dane Wigington is correct, then if everyone changed their behaviors to something that was correct tomorrow, like if we all changed our perspectives, if we all began to treat nature the way we should, and we did this tomorrow morning, that would still probably be too late. So how do you take that message? How do you process it? One of the things I would tell you, if you suffer from depression, don't listen to Dane Wigington. If you're young and you're kind of, restless, and you're wondering about the future, I wouldn't listen to this guy because he's just that dark. It's pretty horrible. But definitely, if you're depressed or you think you're suicidal, I would say don't watch the movie Melancholia by Lars von Trier, and don't listen to this guy, Dane Wigington's podcast. Because it's not for the weak of heart. I mean, his message basically is, if we all change, we can do something, but still most of us are doomed. That's the thing. His message essentially is that no matter what, most of us are kind of doomed. That the years ahead are pretty horrible, no matter what we do. But at least if we do the right thing, some people won't be doomed. And that sounds fine. That's a good positive message, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. It comes back to that question you ask yourself, what is the nature of reality? And if reality for you is defined by all of the gadgets that you have, that you listen to podcasts on or radio stations on, or you listen to audiobooks or you read books off of your Kindle, if you take the collection of all these devices and these libraries and schools you went to, and you ask yourselves, is this the information? Is this all that I have? Is this all the information I need to make a decision about the nature of reality? I got to tell you, I just don't know. I mean, I'm not a solipsist. You can't be a Christian and be a solipsist. But I will say, I understand the allure. I mean, it's like this thing in New Zealand, It sounds pretty horrible. The stuff I've read about the mass shooting sounds terrible. Does it mean I believe the official story? I don't know. I really don't. I can't tell you. It's sort of terrible, but there's a reason for why they would want to do something like this as well. There's a motive for this kind of false flag. So even if it's real, it's hard to know if it's real. I would say that we're bottoming out on the issue of trust when it comes to government. And here's the thing, as an anarchist, I'm totally there already as far as my trust for the government goes. But I don't know. I was watching a stupid movie. Oh my God. You want to talk about craziness? We want to switch topics here. Something, I don't know, maybe more positive or whatever. But I was watching a really stupid movie called Mortal Machines. Holy, holy smokes. So dumb. It's like you watch the trailer for Mortal Machines, okay? It's probably on YouTube. Watch the trailer. That's way better than the movie. I made it for like 45 minutes and I couldn't deal. I had to shut it down. It was so implausibly stupid. These giant cities going around, gobbling each other up. And here's the worst part about it. There's this really dramatic opening where the city of London is chasing down the smaller town, and the city of London has this giant metal kind of, grinder type teeth mouth, and it's getting ready to put it on the conveyor belt tongue and swallow up this tiny town as it cruises around like a giant 4x4 at, I don't know, 100 miles an hour. So the city of London swallows up this little town, and guess what? There's no, basically, it's like the people walk out of the mouth, and it's like, holy crap, welcome to London. Here's your immigrant card. Here's your food card. Here's your housing. I would have expected the people to get all ground up into like meat patties or whatever. Here's your meat pie. Doesn't this taste savory? This was cooked down in the hall, down deep inside the giant city. That's what I expected. I didn't expect the city to get swallowed up and then a bunch of immigrants to be like getting off the tiny little crappy city to the city of London, which actually did seem nicer than the crappy little city. So yeah, I couldn't really deal with Mortal Machines. I found it really difficult to buy into this kind of, I don't know, anticlimactic destruction that didn't really lead to people being murdered as much as being made citizens. But then again, it does seem like the kind of story, like I know it's based on a book, right? It's got to be based on some book. But it seems like the story that would be written by some dude in England who lives in one of these border counties to London or something and is really upset about some ruling, local ruling, or some ordinance is going to force a road through. And so basically, from his perspective, the city of London is the age of the predator cities and is a predator. Yeah, I could see the story's psychological origins being somebody really upset with London zoning rules. That could be it. I don't know. But Mortal Machines is a terrible film. Just thought I should mention that. Worth mentioning. One of the things I've thought about too, in the context of this conversation, and it's sort of related to why I haven't been online, the sort of weariness of the weariness of the heart, why I haven't been podcasting, is this whole question of madness. Like, you can say to yourself, well, the world is crazy. The world is crazy, Dan. The world is mad, and it is. It's crazy. But then you have to turn it back around on yourself and say, okay, Dan, smarty pants, how do you know you're not crazy? Like, how do you know it's just not you? And even if it's both, it's no better. Like, you can't come back and say, well, I'm crazy and the world's crazy. Well, okay. That might be true. Or you might just be a part of the crazy world. We just don't know. But it's hard because the world feels crazy right now. It feels insane. It feels upside down. It's like listening to Dane Wigington. It's so dark. And the worst part about it feels true. Like the guy doesn't, when he's talking about the future, he doesn't sound like somebody's trying to sell you something, okay? He doesn't sound like somebody's trying to take advantage of you. He sounds like this honest dude who's worried, who's raising an alarm for something that is alarming. But all this madness, all this crazy. One of the things that I've said for years, and I continue to say, is that of all the things we face, I do think we face a kind of plague of madness. And the origin of the madness is not complicated, although it can seem complicated. But it has a lot to do with disappointment. It has a lot to do with the fact that people feel profound disappointment, a letdown, like history had kind of just come and left them behind. There's a lot of resentment, a lot of resentment, especially amongst those people who buy and sell the broken identity of identity politics, who buy and sell, the hatred amongst people because of the color of their skin or their gender, their perceived gender, their sexuality, whatever they think they might be, the people that trade in that kind of division. And these people are doing well these days. This is their age. This is an age of madness. And in an age of madness, the people that spread chaos are the people that do well. But yeah, the disappointment. And ultimately, revenge. You can joke all you want to, and you can try to make it out to be more philosophical than it actually is, but a lot of history, a lot of revolution, a lot of civil wars is about revenge. It's about people taking vengeance on others for slights, economic slights, slights of human justice. People want revenge. And I don't think what's coming is going to be any different. I think it could be very misdirected. I mean, the kind of madness I see on the horizon could be the kind that is very unstructured, would be a good word, and could be very spontaneous. The government has this concept of the lone wolf terrorist, and there's truth in their lies, there always is. But when people start going crazy, it's not like they're going to read each other's emails or read a website or read a book. It's not like Charles Bronson in that movie Telephone. No one's going to pick up the phone and say a magic word or phrase of a Robert Frost poem and cause somebody to go cause some mayhem. It'll just be people starting to break down. It's like this big chemical fire in Houston, Texas. I don't know what caused it, but it was some kind of failure. And it could very well be the failure that results from people just being too tired, being overworked, being past their boundary lines, their lives being too stressed out, too crazy. I know you want to believe the people that do all these jobs are in really healthy relationships and their lives are working out, but I hate to break it to you. There are lots of people in really sensitive jobs in our society whose lives are not working out so good, who are having serious problems, who feel great resentment and anger and desperation. And all of that could add up to just incompetence, which means just making a mistake. It could all add up to just that, making a mistake, making an error, forgetting to order a part, ordering the wrong part. Ordering the wrong fix for some particular system. It doesn't even have to be a deliberate act that is, it doesn't have to be an actual act meant out of anger or vengeance or anything like that. It doesn't have to be a deliberate act. It could simply be the result of human error that's a result of people just breaking down. People starting to go a little crazy, starting to break down, people starting to fall apart. But yeah, I don't know. And that Mortal Machines movie, do not see it. I don't know. That was pretty dark. The other thing that occurred to me in the last week is that our economy now, and some people have coined it this way, like, I don't know, I forget the name of the author. It's not Naomi Wolf. It's another author, but she wrote a book called, I think, Disaster Capitalism. And yeah, in fact, I'm gonna look that up really quick. Hold on. It's Naomi Klein, and the title of the book is The Shock Doctrine: The Rise of Disaster Capitalism. And yeah, I was thinking this last week that our economy is starting to feel like a scavenger economy where everybody is basically on the grift against everybody else. And it sounds terrible. Like, that sounds horrible. Like, if that's really the final stage for, I don't know, American empire, is every single cell turns on its neighbor, that could happen. But a lot of the business out there seems like businesses victimizing each other. Businesses cannibalizing each other's business. I don't know. Maybe that's a bit too crazy. And here's the other thing, too. And maybe I'll leave this podcast here because that was a bit of a misdirected thought process. And I don't know. Like I said, I'm weary. I'm really weary from all this shit. I'm weary from the news. The news is depressing as fuck. And a lot of it doesn't point in a very good direction. I don't know if Dane Wigington is right, but if he is right, then it's kind of like, what the hell? Why? If he's right and we're all going to be dead in 10 to 15 years, then what exactly are we doing? What is the goal? What is the plan? And if it's going to be most of us dead, well, I don't know. And anyways, you could die tomorrow, right? But I was thinking about this whole, like, people will say the glass is half full or the glass is half empty. Like, somehow you're an optimist if you say the glass is half full. And somehow you're a pessimist if you say the glass is half empty. But if you ask me, both of those folks are optimists. I mean, even the pessimist that says it's half empty says that there's a part of it that is not empty. Okay? So even with the pessimism, there's something there. I've realized that I'm not either. I'm not glass half full. I'm not glass half empty. I'm really, the glass is broken. I mean, the glass is broken. It's broken on the floor. All the water that was in the glass, whether it was half full or half empty, don't matter. It's all spilled. I am the glass is broken. I'm not the glass is half empty. I'm not the glass is half full. Take that communist weenie ass bullshit down the street. What the hell? You're calling that a separation between optimism and pessimism? Both of those positions have something in the glass. But with me, it's really simple. The glass is broken. So yeah, this is the way I'll leave the podcast for tonight. This beautiful, beautiful springtime, almost springtime night in Seattle, Washington in March the 2019. March the 19th, this wonderful evening, early evening. And have a good one, because the glass is broken.